As stories go, the introduction of the patriarch Abram, later to be known as Abraham, is rather nondescript, perhaps even a little underwhelming, certainly not compelling, and maybe even downright plain and dull. For comparison, let's consider some other heroes and founders from antiquity. Aeneas was a Trojan hero, son of a prince, and a goddess. He was a valiant warrior during the Trojan War, a lieutenant to the noble Hector. Protected by the gods, Aeneas is one of the few Trojans not killed in the war. He flees burning Troy for a new home, with his father on his back while firmly holding his young son's hand. All of which implies strength, vitality, and even virility. Ultimately, he travels to Italy, where he settles in the region where Rome would be later built by his descendants, Remus and Romulus. Along the way, he will have adventures on land and sea, including, shall I say, some hot-blooded romance. In appearance, he must have been, as they say, easy on the eyes, because he attracted the attention of a queen who offered not only herself but her kingdom to him. But all of these adventures are put in his way for the drama and suspense of him possibly not achieving or reaching his destiny, a new home. Then we have Odysseus, who was the legendary Greek king of Ithaca and also a survivor of the Trojan War. Like Aeneas, he comes with an impeccable pedigree. He is of a royal line, and as the great-grandson of Hermes, he also is of the divine. On the Greek side of the Trojan War, Odysseus is the non-anxious presence among the military leaders. He is wise and calculating. According to some of the writings, it was Odysseus who came up with the brilliant idea of the Trojan horse, which resulted in the demise of Troy. When the war is over, he too goes on a long journey, not to find a new home, but to go home, where his wife and his son are patiently waiting and hoping for his imminent return. His story is also compelling because of the many adventures, detours, and delays he will experience while trying to reach home. Like Aeneas, he will have adventures on land and sea. He will blind Polyphemus, and he alone will hear the forbidden song of the sirens. He comes with his wits, his strength, and yes, like Aeneas, some degree of sex appeal. Because the women he encounters keep trying to get him to stay. But the promise of home keeps him going. No matter what happens to him, Odysseus does not give up hope of reaching Ithaca. Now, both of these stories revolve around men heading to their known destiny. What kind of stories would these be if Odysseus had no home to go home to, or if Aeneas had no idea where he was supposed to be? Which brings me to Abram. Here the story begins. There is no backstory of who Abram was. His pedigree is unknown. No mention of royalty or anything else. He is simply the son of Terah, originally from Ur, located somewhere near the Persian Gulf, but now settled in Haran, located somewhere in modern-day Turkey. But this is not destined to be his home. The Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you." Unlike the other two, Abram's journey is not about returning home, nor it is about having to leave home out of necessity. He's not fleeing a burning or ravaged city. Another striking difference here is that Abram is old. He is not young, vital, or virile. He is, as they say, Ancient of Days. And God is asking him to give up and let go his social security, leaving whatever family, collection, or tribe that he was part of. Those who watched him leave Haran must have thought he was out of his mind, going off to the unknown to start a new life at this stage of his own life. In their humble opinion, this was Abram's folly. And they probably thought, "I give them 3 days at the best, and they'll either be back or they'll be dead." It's incredible that given God's request, Abram just does it. He goes. The idea that being blessed or being a blessing comes not from returning home or finding home, but rather leaving home, is radical and countercultural. And yes, Abram will have his adventures and trials and tribulations along the way. He will fight battles, rescue his nephew Lot, watch his wife Sarai taken by men of power not once, but twice, and experience prosperity along the way. But something is missing. He has no children, which is a very big problem, because without children to carry on, everything he is doing is for naught, which highlights all the more the unbelievability of this old couple agreeing to God's request to leave their home. All signs point to this venture leading to failure and death. How in the world are Abram and Sarai able to do this? And yes, here I'd like to include Sarai in the heroism of this story. Abram does not call all the shots. This couple works together like a team, and they both will do things that will shock the rest of us and make the rest of us all go, "Huh?" They are different. Hearth and home, security and comfort is not their motivation. Instead, they live by faith in God, a faith that is awe-inspiring and meant to be not just a blessing, but also a model, an inspiration for the rest of us. God calls them not to go home, but to go out into the unknown. Think about it. That's a pretty scary request. Who among us lives for moving out of one's comfort zone, the place where other heroes of old strive to reach? And yet that is what God does repeatedly. When one encounters God in one form or another, God's request is always about going to the unknown, moving from a place of security to that of risk, uncertainty, and challenge. Moses is told that he has to stop tending his father-in-law's sheep and go down to Egypt and get my people. Moses was not thrilled, but he went. The message for Joshua is to take the people and go into the promised land despite the people's fear of the inhabitants. Jeremiah was only a boy, and God told him to go to my people and tell them the words that I will put in your mouth. Jeremiah had one of the roughest times, but he went. Mary, the mother of Jesus, was told by Gabriel, God wants you to go into the dangerous realm of unwed pregnancy. And she says, here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me as you say. Jesus approached fishermen and told them to put down their nets and follow him into the unknown. And so they did. Saul was struck blind in his pursuit of arresting Christians. Christ tells him in a vision to get up and go into Damascus and wait for further instruction. Ananias, a disciple in Damascus, is told by Christ, go to the street called Straight and find Saul. Ananias replies, are you crazy? That man is dangerous. But he goes, and the direction of Christianity is changed forever. In today's gospel, Nicodemus comes to Jesus wanting what I think we all would like from Jesus. Clear answers about life, about how we're supposed to live our lives if we are indeed children of God, children of Abraham. We all want some certainty, and maybe with it a little comfort. But Jesus tells Nicodemus, with God, there are no answers, no certainties, no clear insight of the future. Nicodemus, you have to put yourself in the same mindset, the same zen or temperament of our father and mother, Abraham and Sarah. You have to live by faith. Faith in God. Faith that in the unknown, in the unpredictable, and in the unplanned and unexpected, there God is with us. What others travel decades to achieve, the good news is actually with you all along. With God, it's not the destiny, it's the journey that matters. The good news is that God never abandons people on the journey of faith. There may be times when God may seem absent, which is a terrible struggle and challenge for even the hardiest of us. The presence of God also, and this is important, never means that the journey will be any easier. Unlike many other folks in the Bible, Abraham and Sarah never really slam God. They don't quarrel with God, and they never act like they may actually give up on God. On the surface, they can seem rather compliant with God, almost to a fault. But I think if we could actually speak with them, I think their response to us would be, do you really think any of these things was easy for us? Do you think it was easy for us to leave our home, our family, our security, and just go out into the unknown unprepared? No. Do you think it was easy for us? Sarah, willingly sacrificing herself, going off with other men in order to save her husband. Do you think it was easy for me to watch my wife do something so heroic on my behalf? No! Do you think it was easy for me to dismiss my first son and his mother? Do you think it was easy for the two of us when God told us to go and take our only son Isaac and offer him up on Mount Moriah? No. We may be blessed, and maybe we are a blessing for others, but all along the way, our hearts were stretched to the point of breaking. But somehow, miraculously, they never did. Imagine what our story would be like if Abram and Sarai had turned around, said no to God, and returned back to Haran. Or if Jesus himself refused God's call to leave behind Nazareth, carpentry, and his hearth and home. Where would we be? And where are we now? Where is God calling you to go? Where is God calling all of us to go? The possibilities are endless. Perhaps we start by opening ourselves to the power of the Holy Spirit, which, like a strong wind, where it comes from and where it goes, we don't know. But if we allow it to take us and to move us, we may find ourselves taken to places and experiences we never dreamed of or could possibly ever have imagined. Augustine of Hippo, in his Confessions, wrote what I think is one of the greatest sentences ever written. Because you have made us for yourself, our hearts are restless till they find their rest in you. My friends, the message from God is that life is an adventure. It's a journey that takes us out. Takes us out, starting by taking us out from ourselves. And taking us out from the comfortable, the predictable, and the expected. But God is with us. The season of Lent is a time that's meant to help us let go of old patterns, old burdens, old habits, and ways of doing things, and provides us with the opportunity to accept God's invitation to journey into new territories, new promises, new hopes, new dreams, and most importantly, new life. May we, like Abram and Sarai, go with God wherever God wants us to go. And may we find ourselves blessed and a blessing for others. Amen.